It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest, Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Affairs at USDA, Luke Lindbergh. He'll join us in a moment. First off, it's the Secretary of the Interior, Doug Burgum, on energy.
California does import oil and refined product from other countries because they've stopped all the pipelines coming into their state, and they're not the only part of our country, but we do have some states that have basically followed these failed European policies, and they're going to experience much higher gasoline prices and energy prices than other states. And again, so you're going to take states like New York and California, and they're going to end up leading in one thing, and that's out-migration of Americans who are going to move to places where they can have affordable, reliable, and U.S.-made secure energy.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today we're joined by the Honorable Luke Lindbergh. Mr. Lindbergh is Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Ag Affairs at USDA. Great to see you. Welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be on with you again. Appreciate you having me back.
I'll tell you what, frequent flyer miles for your position. There are some in the administration. They're able to stay pretty much domestically. But your job really has you on the road a lot, and I guess that's where you're most productive, is it not?
That's in fact correct, yes. The biggest part of my job is being the top salesperson for U.S. agriculture all around the world. And you can't do that from here in the United States of America. We have logged miles, over 100,000 miles since I started globally here now, in just the first 6 months on the job. And really, that allows us to get on the ground and make deals happen. So one of the greatest joys is that as the president, who is the deal maker in chief, gets out there and makes deals happen, it's my job to make sure we follow up and get farmers on the ground in those markets to turn those trade deals into real sales. The slogan I'm using for 2026 is, it's our job to turn market access into market share.
I love that, market access to market share, because we've been dealing with a trade deficit, and we've had a trade deficit here in the U.S. for years, but not an ag trade deficit. Has that been top of mind for you?
Yeah, the U.S. has long time benefited from having an agricultural trade surplus with the world, right? We have historically sold more of our product overseas than we've imported. Unfortunately, that took a turn from the worse. Last year, when the president came into office, we were expecting, USDA was forecasting at the time, a $50 billion trade deficit. Now, we just released data last week that is telling a new story. A story of a $29 billion agricultural trade deficit this year. Now, again, that's not our goal. Our goal is to get back to a surplus. But going from a $50 billion trade deficit to a forecasted $29 billion trade deficit in just 1 year shows that the America First policies regarding international trade are starting to work. And we're going to see more exports. We're going to see actually dollar for dollar fewer imports, which means our producers are also able to compete more fairly here in the United States and sell their products, which are the most nutritious, healthiest in the world, to American consumers who want them and want to buy them.
Now, as you're describing this, I'm thinking it's got to be any agreement we come up with. If you have two partners in this, each partner has to find a way to win. And you're definitely describing ways that the U.S. wins. Is it also, are you able to find successful wins for those other countries as well as they sit down, which makes them want to sit down and drop some of their tariffs and non-tariff trade barriers?
Yeah, we actually have seen, and I've experienced in my travels around the world, that there are folks that actually have been waiting to purchase U.S. agricultural products. One great story was when I was over in Malaysia and had a great opportunity to meet with a restaurant owner there who shared with us that she has recently invested in a processing facility here in the United States so she could be the first one to import U.S. beef to serve at her restaurants in Malaysia as soon as the agreement came into full force. And so it is a win-win when folks can get access and their governments get out of the way to our products. But also recall that the president does want reciprocal trade. He wants wins for both sides. And we've seen that as well. We want coffee from places. We want spices from places. We want bananas from places. Things that we don't grow, we recognize we would love to have those products here in the United States of America. And oftentimes our consumers demand those products. And so there are great opportunities where we can mutually win. But the problem right now is that the data has shown that our farmers and ranchers are not winning at the rate in which they historically have been winning. And so it's our job to get us back to a better place where we can compete on that fair and level playing field, win those contracts we've historically had, and bring that prosperity back to rural America.
We're talking with Luke Lindberg, Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Ag Affairs at USDA. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Our guest today, Luke Lindberg, Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Ag Affairs at USDA. Talking trade, I guess it's kind of a two-part question. One, how are we holding our partners? How are we putting teeth into these agreements, holding their feet to the fire, and what's in it for farmers?
Yeah, we've taken a very dramatically different course on accountability, and it's a very important point. I'm glad you brought it up, because the reality is the president is focused on bilateral trade agreements. So many times in the past, we've had multilateral agreements. There's regions that get together and try to create trade agreements. The president wants reciprocal trade, which means you win and we win on a bilateral basis. And that allows us to use a whole host of ways to rectify and address trade barriers. And so if you're looking at a reciprocal agreement with the United States and agree to some terms and then don't live up to them, there's lots of ways we could address that and will address those situations. I wouldn't want to be on the other end of a phone call from President Trump saying, hey, you told us you were going to do X and now you're doing Y. Because I think the president is the consummate deal maker in chief and will use his tools available to him to ensure that countries are accountable to these deals and continue to work on them. This is also the work that our trade and foreign agricultural affairs staff all around the world do every day. We have folks located in almost 100 countries all around the world, certainly covering more than 100 countries, who are every day active in ensuring these agreements are lived up to and that when issues do arise, we get in front of them quickly and effectively.
One sector of ag that really has not seen a rebound here, this week we've seen prices moving higher for all the row crops at this point. One that's really struggled has been the cotton industry. I want to tie this into an upcoming trip I know that you have. There's a lot of processing capacity on the textile side in places like Guatemala. I'm just wondering, is it possible to work deals with Guatemala? I think El Salvador is on your agenda as well. Not just talking cotton here, but is there ways to work agreements that we can benefit from areas that we're not really processing a whole lot of cotton anymore here in the U.S.? Can we work deals to where U.S. producers can benefit at the end of the day?
Absolutely. And one example I'll give you was when I went to Indonesia and was there with our Cotton Council International team members. And one of the things they gifted me with during my travels is a traditional batik shirt, which is a very culturally significant item in Indonesia, made with U.S. cotton. And they are working directly with textile mills in Indonesia to bring U.S. cotton into Indonesia, which not only provides textiles to apparel manufacturers that send it back to the United States, but also send it regionally into Asia and Southeast Asia and other places. That model works well. El Salvador and the United States, we've had some conversations around those topics. So we will continue to work to meet the demand of whatever industry segments are there. If U.S. Can play a role in providing the inputs, in this case cotton, we're happy to do so.
Again, so good to see you, and thank you for your time. Thank you for joining us today. Look forward to hearing more down the road. Come back and see us.
Thanks for having me back on. We'll see you again soon.
Again, it's the Honorable Luke Lindbergh, Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Ag Affairs at USDA, and this is the Agribusiness Report.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton research and promotion program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
This is the Agribusiness Report. Well, let's keep talking trade here. What needs to come in trade deals, according to the American Soybean Association? The CEO is Steven Sinski.
Number one, we need and we applaud that the Trump administration for this is looking to strike new trade agreements with countries to knock down market access barriers, to try to get purchase commitments from the United States. I think that's all positive. And the administration, I think, has done a good job doing that. Second of all, I think we need stability. You know, there's been just so much turbulence on trade. And I think stability would go a long way. And toward that, providing that stability, of course, the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement is up for review this year. We're pushing hard to make sure that it is extended. We're delivering the message that let's make any tweaks that need to be made, but the underlying agreement is just so, so important to soybean producers, to corn producers, to pork producers, sorghum, everyone across the board. Mexico is our number two export market after China. And so they're extremely important. Canada's our number four meal market. And so we need that stability to keep trade going.
Once again, that's the CEO of the American Soybean Association, ASA, Stephen Sinski. I'm Tony St. James, and this is the Agribusiness Report.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
This is the Agribusiness Report. Kurt Barton is CFO of Tractor Supply.
We launched last year our delivery program. It'll take us a few years to get to all markets, but having a final mile delivery where we view it is that we have 2,600 warehouses, distribution centers, that being a store nearest to a customer. And we're investing in having drivers and being able to make deliveries, especially for those that need something same day, next day, or for large palletized goods that we can just deliver straight to them. So we see that as a need, a pain point that customers have that nobody's really serving today, and we're the closest to the customer. So we're making that level of investment. And then really lastly, we talked a lot about how do we continue to invest in our community.
And it's the Agribusiness Report.